Okay, like I said, we are going to start this chapter in a few minutes. Next week's lessons are on the back foyer, so please pick one up before you leave this evening so that you may have that. And with that, we're going to just jump right into the chapter, chapter 3. There are a number of points in this chapter. On a high level, we see that Ruth had some disappointments in her life, and that shouldn't stop her in pursuing and worshiping God. We also see in this particular chapter that there's a scene on the threshing floor which yields a high standard of morality that is between Ruth and Boaz. And we'll get into that a little bit further in our lesson. And also, in this chapter, we see we have to trust God. No matter what obstacles are in our way, no matter what we encounter, put God first. And that's what Ruth does. She takes risks on the threshing floor, but it's God's providence that took her there. We also see in this chapter, and I kind of like these remarks, we'll see that Naomi pointed out Ruth's need for a home, a resting place, a place of provision, security, and stability. Important for this young lady. We also need that in our lives. So we could see that that is basically a picture for us to be redeemed. Without the blood of Christ, we don't have it. As we go through this chapter, we'll see that Naomi told Ruth how to secure a new home, how to approach Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. Well, that's a picture for us when we repent and turn our hearts once again to the Lord. We also see in this chapter, Ruth agreed and carefully obeyed Naomi's instructions. That's a picture for us today to, as we approach Jesus, Christ the Redeemer, we don't go approaching him in a lackadaisical way, but yet you approach Christ in a way that's God-fearing with reverence. We also see in this chapter Ruth asked Boaz for marriage. That's a picture for us asking Jesus Christ to redeem us, to provide salvation for you and I. We also see that Ruth was received and given the great promise of marriage, of being redeemed by Boaz. And we'll get into that a little later on in this lesson. And that's a picture of being received by the Christ, the Redeemer. Ruth was so excited about what's happening. She shared the promises and provision that Boaz had promised with Naomi. That is a picture of the believing bearing witness to the promises and provisions of Christ, the Redeemer. Once we become a Christian, we shouldn't keep that within ourselves. We should be able to share that and bring others to Christ. And finally, towards the end of the chapter, we're going to see that Ruth is patiently waiting while Boaz works out her marriage redemption. There's a problem that arises because there's a closer relative that had rights first. And Boaz was going to confront that individual, and that's the next chapter. I won't get into that. So you have to read chapter 4 to find out what happened. So when we look at she's waiting for Boaz to work out these details, that's a picture of a believer patiently waiting for that glorious day that we are all hoping for. Salvation. Eternal life. So with that, we'll look at question 1 on our sheets. And we see that, what did Naomi tell Ruth in verse 1? Saber, can you answer that?
She said that she would not stop working or taking care of
Ruth. Uh-huh. She had a concern for Naomi. Thank you very much. We see in the text, and I have 3 different texts up so we could understand this particular verse better. In Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 in the New American Standard Bible, we read that then Naomi her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you?" So there's something called security. In the King James Version, it says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with you, with thee?" So we see already there's 2 different words that we have to try to understand. Security and rest. And now when you go to the New International Version, it says, "One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, My daughter, should I not try to find you a home where you will be provided for?" So she's seeking to assist her. We go to the rest in the New the King James Version, "Shall I not seek rest for thee?" Well, rest is equivalent to marriage. She wants to make sure that Ruth is going to be taken care of. Ruth is going to be provided for. More important, Ruth is going to live a happy life, one with love. We also see that Naomi had a concern that she didn't want Ruth to remain a poor gleaner in the fields. She wanted somebody to provide for her. And that person is Boaz, a relative. We also see that Naomi determined to take the initiative to arrange this marriage. She's behind the scenes, but yet she's instructing Ruth with some things. And we'll get into that in a few verses. Duties of a kingship. We see that in this particular case, to redeem or buy back the inheritance of the poor relation who had been compelled through poverty to part with it, And that's found in Leviticus chapter 25:25. Another item or a duty in the kingship is to buy or redeem the person who was sold into slavery. And that's found in Leviticus 25:47-49. And this is not applicable to Ruth's situation. And finally, we see that in case the relative's lineage has been cut off by death through blotting out his name in the house of Israel, the kinsman was to raise the son of his dead brother so that his name will be not put out of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 25. I put down 5 through 7, but it encompasses 5 through 10. The reason why I left up to 7, that's in the next chapter. We'll get to next week. So there's a lot of duties that this kingship entails. One being, he has to have the ability to do this. Second, he has to be willing to do this. So what was Naomi's instructions to Ruth? And that's found in verses 2 through 4. And Carol, would you read that, please?
Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down, when then he will tell you what you should do.
Thank you. So we see that there's a number of instructions that Naomi gives to Ruth. First one being, she says, wash yourself. Don't forget, she was working in the fields, and it must have been very dusty and filthy, and she's been working night and day, or not night and day, but morning to night, and Naomi says to her, wash yourself, prepare yourself. Second thing it says is, anoint yourself. Third, she said, put on your best clothes. Don't forget, she's in a state of mourning because her husband passed on. And Naomi said to her, it's about time you get out. And then she says, go down to the threshing floor. It's the end of harvest, of the barley harvest, and what happens is they take all their heads of barley to this room and they beat out the kernels and gather the kernels, and we don't do that today. We use a combine where it cuts the head, shakes them, and kernels go one way, straw goes the rest, another way. That's how we do it today in the States. But back then, they didn't have the equipment we had. So they did it by hand. So he says, go down to the threshing floor. But then she says, but do not make yourself known to the man until he's finished eating and drinking. You think why he was there? Well, he's protecting his crop. And then Naomi says, you shall notice the place where he lies. Make sure you go to this individual, Boaz, not at someone else. Focus on why you're there. And then then she says, you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. We see that she's being submissive. She's being, if some of the translations say that she's a servant, In my translation that I go to, it says she's a maid, which all equates to one thing. She's going before her master, so to speak, and also is going to ask him something. And then Naomi says to her, he will tell you what to do. And in the next question, what was Ruth's response to Naomi? Jane, would you please read verses 5 through 8, please?
And she said to her, all that you say I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her.
2:8.
2:8.
Yes, please.
When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and laid down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled. He bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet.
Thank you. So we see that she did all that Naomi had instructed her to do. After Boaz finished eating and drinking, he went off to the side and he slept. And she noticed where he slept, and that is Ruth. And she went down and laid at his feet as being submissive to her master. And stayed there. Ruth took a huge risk at this particular time. She doesn't know what's going to transpire, what's going to happen, but she trusts in Jehovah. Something that we as Christians should always be focused on. No matter what happens, trust God. He'll take care of the situation. Pray about it. If you're in a situation where you are being tested, go to God in prayer. Ask for help. You have brothers and sisters who will also help and pray with you and guide you. Ruth's taking a risk at this time. Point, because she doesn't know what's going to happen, what Boaz is going, how he's going to react, and what he's going to say. So, what was the conversation Boaz and Ruth had on the threshing floor? Carol, would you read verse 9, please?
And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative."
Thank you. So Boaz woke up and he was startled. "Who are you?" And Ruth said, she didn't identify herself as a Moabite. But she identified herself as a maid in this particular translation. Other translations, we see that it's a servant. And she asks him to spread your covering over your maid, a sign of providing protection, providing comfort. And she qualifies that as, she said, "You are a close relative."
Lenny?
Yes, sorry.
The Bible says guardian redeemer.
Guardian redeemer, yeah.
The definition of a guardian redeemer is a legal term for one who has an obligation to redeem a relative in serious difficulty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Boaz, we know that he was wealthy, and he had the means, and he also had the desire to do that. Very good point. But yet we see that Ruth was seeking redemption. And she was seeking redemption through her kinsman, who was Boaz. We also see that she appealed to Boaz to marry her according to Levirate custom, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 10. We looked at those verses several weeks ago. I won't bring them up again, but they're for your information. So we see again in verse 9, she asked Boaz to spread the covering over her. And as Carol Lee said, it's kinsman. Also, in the New American Standard, it says close relative. I like the New American Standard. It makes sense. However, there are some things that are quirky that you really have to go to other translations to understand the meaning of the particular verse. Last week we studied chapter 2 and we looked at this verse, verse 12. Boaz is talking to Ruth and he said, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be filled full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Ruth was committed to worshiping her God, Jehovah. She showed by her actions, by her way she conducted herself, that she wanted God to assist her. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, we read, "Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love, so I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you that you became mine, declares Lord God." Here's the children of Israel seeking refuge. As with Ruth, she was seeking refuge under God's protection. Well, the parallel to this is Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. We read in John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And Sharon, can I ask you to read Hebrews chapter 2, please, verses 14 and 15. That take your time. I have difficulties turning my pages myself, so I use this electronic Bible.
We'll get to
that's Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15.
"Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives."
So Jesus took on flesh and blood, and we know what happened. He died on the cross for our sins. We also know that He is the Son of Man, and he is able to redeem us. Mary, would you read John chapter 10, verse 15, please?
Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Thank you. So we see that he's willing, Jesus the Christ, willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And those sheep are you and I. And Di, would you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9.
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich.
Thank you. It's not by our merits. It's by God's grace we are going to be saved. And Anne, would you continue in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13?
Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory.
Sorry.
Oh, I was Ephesians. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Galatians chapter 3, verse...
Please, 13.
Okay. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree.
Thank you. So, he took it upon himself, the sins of the world, and he took it to the cross, which was the only means that God the Father had for forgiving us, was the blood of Christ. And Sherry, would you finish up on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, please?
Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ.
Thank you. So we see that we are redeemed not with worldly things, silver and gold. We're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. Unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. So he is able to redeem us. He's able to be our kinsman and buy us back, which he did. We see in this scenario between Ruth and Boaz, there's a physical type of relationship they're developing. But also, when you look on the other side, there's a spiritual type of relationship that we could parallel. We see in verse 9, Ruth is seeking redemption. Christians have redemption in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ron, would you read that for us, please?
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace.
Thank you. So we have redemption through the blood of Christ. And it's by God's grace, not by what we merit. We also see in the physical type of relationship that Ruth had with Boaz, she appealed to him to marry her, according to the customs at that time. And we see that the church is the bride of Christ. Sharon, would you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27?
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless.
Thank you. And that's our part. We're Christians. We're in the church. We should free ourselves from sin. I know we fall short. We have trials in our lives. We have temptations. But the bottom line is to be in a right relationship with Christ Jesus. Also, in his physical relationship, we see that Ruth was seeking a home, a resting place, a place of provision, love, peace, and security. And that's all found in her husband, Boaz, what she was seeking, verse 9. Well, Christians today are seeking a heavenly home. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Kathleen, would you read that for us, please?
Look, flee from these things, man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Thank you. So we see that we should increase in these qualities in our lives. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness. These sound familiar. Fruit of the Spirit. Fight the good fight of faith. No matter what transpires in your life, always put God first. And Frank, would you finish up Titus chapter 3, verse 7, please?
So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope and eternal life.
Thank you. So, it's by his grace that we have the hope of eternal life. Not by things that we merit in our lives, that we may do. You see, the world today, they said, well, I did this, I did that. The bottom line is, God allowed them to do that. And it's by God's grace we're going to have the hope of eternal life. Not by what we do. But he expects you and I to live a God-fearing life. To live a life that has the right relationship with God, and we follow the commandments of Christ Jesus. So, what had Boaz noticed about Ruth's character? Bob?
Well, he noticed that she was a woman of excellence.
Woman of excellence.
I could read it right off here.
Sure, verses 10 and 11.
10 and 11, okay. Then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And now it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I.
Thank you. So we see that Boaz blesses Ruth again. And we see that he noticed her kindness by not pursuing young men who are rich or poor. And also, she noted, as Bob had said in the scriptures, that you are a woman of excellence. You go back to Proverbs chapter 31 and you read about that woman of excellence. He praises her for her virtuous walk of life. So what conversation did Boaz have on the threshing floor with Ruth? Nancy? Okay, before you answer that, I want to look at Ruth, her qualities that we had studied so far. Ruth is basically very loyal to Naomi. We read that in the first chapter, verse 16. We also noticed that she had a commitment to family. Again, in first chapter, verse 16. And also, she was faithful. She made that declaration that that Naomi's God will be her God. When Naomi went, she would go. If she died, she wanted to die near her. She was kind. We noticed that she took care of Naomi. She went out in the field and gleaned. Second chapter, and also the third second chapter, verse 2, and the third chapter, verse 10. We also see that she was a diligent worker. We talked about that in chapter 2, verse 17. She followed instructions. We just read about that in verse 6 of this chapter. She was very humble. Chapter 3, verse 10. And also, she was a woman of excellence. In verse 11 of this chapter. She had qualities that she would make someone an excellent wife. What about Boaz? What do we know about him a little bit? Well, he was introduced to us in the second chapter, verse 1. He was a wealthy man. He was known in the community, and the way he conducted himself towards his workers, he was very respectful and very honorable. He was kind. Second chapter, verse 4. He was compassionate. We also know that he was faithful. He put God first. Lesson for us today, we should put God first. He was very protective. He told Ruth, hey, don't go in anybody else's field. Stay in my field, and I guarantee your safety. He was very generous. When Ruth was gleaning, he told his servants to leave some sheaves on out of the bundle so that she could pick them up. He was a provider. He not only gave Ruth what she gleaned, she wanted to make sure she had enough for her mother-in-law, Boaz's relative. And also, which we'll get to, is he was a man of integrity. Qualities that a young lady wants to see in a man. A husband. Bill.
It struck me, thinking about Boaz, as David's grandfather or great-grandfather?
Great.
That Boaz was also a loving and romantic man.
Could be.
That's where David got those qualities.
I don't know. Possible. Scripture doesn't say that. have to see what the scriptures say. I would imagine the lineage that God had provisioned with this relationship between Ruth and Boaz, there was a son that came out, which we'll read next chapter, Obed. And what does that mean? Who knows what Obed means? We studied that 3 weeks ago. Servant. And this was the type of individual he was. It could possibly be, but I don't know. Thank you. Let's move on. What was the bad news that Boaz give to Ruth in verse 12? Nancy, would you read that, please?
And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I.
So, thank you. So we see that Boaz said there's a relative that's closer than I. He has the right first than me. When we see their relationship, they were in the fields, he talked to her, and they were developing a relationship. We see that he had told Ruth, Boaz had told Ruth that whatever you ask, I will do. But now the problem is, there's somebody else who's closer. So he has to work that out with that individual. So what did Boaz ask Ruth to do?
Stay the night.
Stay the night. So in verse 13, would you read that for us, please?
Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning.
Thank you. So he told Ruth, stay the night. And we'll see what happens, what transpires in the morning. If this individual will not redeem you, I will redeem you. What did Boaz promise Ruth? Same verse, okay?
To redeem her.
Right, exactly. The second part of that verse, it said, but if this individual, this other close relative, doesn't redeem you, I will. That is an awesome promise to make. Here is Ruth, who is seeking security, seeking peace in her life, seeking rest, love. And Boaz was there to assist her in that. But he's going to work out the details with this other person in the next chapter. Why did she rise early in the morning? Gabriel,
verse 14. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor.
Okay, when you read this verse, what Boaz is doing is protecting her honor, protecting her integrity. You know, here's someone who came to the threshing floor looking for Boaz. And the conversation they had was private, but it was recorded in this chapter where Ruth asked Boaz to marry her and cover her with a cloth. And we see that he doesn't want anybody saying anything. Remember that Maybe it's, I like music. So there was one song I like by the Everly Brothers. Wake Up Little Susie. Well, people are going to talk about that. And that's what he didn't want happening here. He didn't want people to put her down or to question her integrity, but more important, her faithfulness to her God. Bob?
He was also protecting himself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other people that worked for him would pick up on that and could cause all kinds of gossip or problems or whatever. So besides protecting her, he protects himself, too.
Exactly. And that's one thing we should be cautioned about. Gossip. If you don't know something, don't say anything. Gossip hurts individuals, and also it is detrimental to the church. So we should stay away from gossiping. And this would have been a perfect example of what will happen. What did Boaz give Ruth to take with her? Terry?
Barley. 6 measures of barley.
Exactly. We don't know what this measurement is, 6 measures of barley, but it's something that she could carry, because in the 15th verse we read that he said to her, and he said, give me your cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it in front of her, and then she went into the city. We talked about an ephah, which is about 23 to 30 pounds. Well, if she's going to carry it, I don't think it's going to be 6 of those. That's about 200 pounds. She must be really strong. But in this case, it was enough that she was able to handle it and take it back to her mother-in-law. So, again, we see his kindness and also his providing for Naomi and Ruth. What advice did Naomi give to Ruth? You got that, Eileen?
Then she said, sit still, my daughter, and let me know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day.
Thank you. So we read in 16 to 18, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And then Ruth told her everything that happened. And she said, also, he gave me 6 measures of barley to bring home. And as Eileen had indicated, he said, wait, my daughter, until you know that the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. So we see what type of man Boaz was. He had integrity. And he was going to follow up on his commitment and his quest to make sure that he could redeem Boaz. So we see in this chapter a lot of things. One being, we have to be patient. God knows what you and I need. We shouldn't be anxious for something. We should understand that God's going to provide for you and I. He did that for Ruth. He did that for Naomi. We see that we should always trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. There's going to be times when you think, well, he didn't listen to me, but yet he does. God knows his people, knows what you need, and he knows what is good for you. We may not see it that way, but yet we do. We should follow the Lord, no matter what it cost us. There's going to be times when you're going to go out in the world and you're going to be ridiculed for your faith. Stand up for Jesus. Look what he did for you. He took your sins and my sins to the cross. And with that, we see that we have the opportunity, the hope of eternal life. And that's in the New Testament that we read about. We see how Jesus will lay down his life for the lambs, you and I, and he did. However, when you look at even the apostles in the first chapter of Acts, when Jesus appeared to them, they said, "Are you ready now to establish your kingdom?" And he said, "You don't know. It's not going to be an earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And you are going to be my witnesses and let people know." It must have been amazing when you look at Paul and his life. There were times when we see that he was alone, but yet he wasn't alone. Jesus Christ was with him. The Holy Spirit guided him. The Holy Spirit guides us when we read the scriptures. Do your diligence to search and see what God wants us to do. We are all students of the Bible. We may be on different levels of our spiritual growth, but we all are studying and seeing what God wants us to do throughout our lives. Final passage I have that I'd like to share with you is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And I got it split up on this screen so we could actually read it. I had it all on one, but I could barely read it. Peter says, starting with verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Okay, here we go. Sorry. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you loved him. And though you did not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. This particular reading proves to us that our faith is going to be tested. Ruth was tested on the threshing floor in chapter 3. And she didn't succumb to sin. She overcame that. We are going to have different trials in our lives that's going to test us. Stand firm always for Christ. That concludes our third chapter. Next week we'll pick up our study in chapter 4, which will conclude the study. And after this study, Bob will lead us in the study of Joshua in 2 weeks. Thank you for your comments and your reading, and we'll be dismissed right now.